You are now listening to another episode of Box to Box, where we discuss all things football, keeping a closer eye on the Red Devils and the Gooners.
Yo people, welcome to another episode of Box to Box podcast. I'm your host today, Jacob. I'm with GM Demeji. Obviously, different moods in the camp today. It's been a fiery week. Finally came to an end yesterday with the Arsenal United game. Two biggest rivals in England. We can all agree on that. Yeah, how you guys feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. So it's good to be an Arsenal fan. I mean, it's been great to be an Arsenal fan all the time, but like right now, yeah, man.
Especially this one, isn't it? It feels good,
yeah,
isn't
man.
It
feels yeah, really man. Good.
If it was nice, you crash on the ops, fam. You get me? ops get crashed on 90+.
Listen. We're going to get into the game and that, you know. But as I mentioned, obviously Arsenal came away with the win. If I could explain to you how I'm feeling, listeners, right now. But, you know, we're here. We're still going to discuss, still going to get into nitty-gritty. We're still going to banter. And, yeah, man, go straight into the game. So, obviously, Arsenal came away with a 3-2 win. Last-minute winner. Eddie, what can I say, man? GM, you know how you're feeling about the game. How was it?
First of all, I think it was a great game of football. Even though we dominated, because we did actually dominate for at least, let's say 70% or 70 minutes of that game, we dominated. But it was a good game of football because both teams were going for it. I think, obviously, you know, without talking about what Man United needed, you know, it was just a good game of football. End to end, non-stop. Both teams trying to go for it. Obviously, when it came to the second half, I don't think Man United really came out second half. Arsenal kind of just dominated throughout the second half. But from the get-go, from the kickoff, you knew what time it was. You know what I'm saying? And I think for United to go ahead, score first, when they scored that first goal, when Rashford scored, I was like, fair enough. I didn't even say anything. I just said, fair enough. Like, you know what I mean?
Tell the listeners what happened to your boy.
No. It was a fantastic goal. Party got chopped. Got megged. It was actually chopped him through his legs, and he smashed it bottom bims. And that's typical Rashford for you. Rashford's on one of the best forms of his life right now. It was a fantastic goal. But the one thing, like we always know about Arsenal this season, is every time we go down 1-0, we don't care anymore. We just come back. And when we went down 1-0, I was annoyed that United scored, because obviously man was in a shisha bar and you're hearing Bay United fans. But at the same time, I was just like, I'm not even bothered. This is just going to get interesting now. We're gonna come back, because this is what Arsenal do. We come back. Like, you saw when they conceded, everyone's like throwing their hands in the air, like, all right, start again. Like, yeah. Odegaard, Zinchenko, Gabriel, Arteta, they're all just like, start again, don't worry, start again. And then from kickoff, boom, we equalised. Then, like, what, 10 minutes? 10 minutes later, we equalised. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean? And then, I don't even know, like, the game was just brilliant. Saka came in second half. Like I said, I think first half it was more 50-50. Both sides going for it. And second half, I think we came and dominated. And I think, obviously, we dominate because that's what we do, number one. But obviously, maybe factors of you, man, not having, you know, Casemiro in the midfield, obviously a big miss. And obviously, you just played Crystal Palace as well. So, you, man, probably a bit tired. Let's give you them that credit there. But with that being said, we still proved who we are. We still shut everyone up. What's his name? Saka. My mighty Saka coming out of
nowhere. We're going to get on to Saka.
Banging it in. And then doing the Rashford celebration, telling him, bro, don't go to my fans.
He actually did that.
Don't come to my stadium, banging a goal, and then try
I hope Rashford catches him in the England camp still.
You know what I'm saying?
Nonsense.
Let Rashford get a start for England first before he catches him.
Trust me. So when Saka's gone and done that, I'm thinking, yep, say nothing. Then you man score again, Martinez. It had to be him after we wanted to sign him.
You know, great goal.
I wouldn't say it was a great goal, but I think it was a goal that shows what type of player Martinez is, for him to dive in like that with his head. I mean, I thought Odegaard would have beat him in the face, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But
even upset, even up until that, I agree with what you're saying. It was very much, especially first half, it almost felt like two heavyweights going at it, you know. Ali, Fraser, just slugging it out. One gets dropped, the next person gets dropped, and, you know, until the very last round, until the final blow came in. But, yeah, man, just credit to you guys. You He really stepped up. I've been, honestly, even since last season, we were talking about Arteta, we were talking about the progress, the style. You can really see this season, his style of play has really been implemented. But desire was there a lot. You know, you're obviously talking about Martinez's goal and him going for that header in that position. But I feel like the whole desire from Arsenal was there in terms of
I think after that goal, after the Martinez goal, that's when we shut up shop. Because you, Matt, we literally... I'm going to let you talk, but we literally suffocated you for the last 20 minutes of the game. It was like the goal had to come. Because it was like we were just pushing you further back and back and back and back, pressing you. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like what's his name? I forgot he's the commentator, the one that played for Tottenham. What's his name? Redknapp. He said, bro, it's not even like we were lumping it in. We was not lumping it in. We were playing our tick-attack of football, bro.
It's strategic. Shaw was on ropes. No, Shaw was on ropes.
I feel like Max said, like the last 20 minutes, the peppering that we gave you, man, was mad. It was bars, bro. Like it was disgusting in the sense that you guys weren't coming out of your half. Like it was mad. Not. And
just booting it. And it was coming back.
Exactly. And like Mike said, you knew the goal was coming. Obviously, yeah, we scored in the 90-something minute, but you just knew the goal was coming in some shape or form. And I can't lie, when the goal went in, I was shook because I thought it was offside. Because obviously, when they pulled it back and it showed Zinchenko when he got the ball initially, it looked like he was in an offside position. Thankfully, it was Zinchenko or Trossard when he received the ball. They looked to be in an offside position.
Zinchenko.
It was Zinchenko, innit? Yeah, so I was shocked.
Yeah, Zinchenko went on the outside.
Yeah. But obviously, thank God it wasn't. But in terms of my take for the game, I feel like in the first half in particular, I feel like both teams were going at it. Like I was on ropes during like a vast majority of the match because I just
that
felt like...
group chat was quiet.
Allow it, man. Allow it. I was on ropes because like when Rashford's goal went in, I wasn't even mad at that one because it's like, fam, it's just a brilliant goal. Like, there's nothing you could do about that. And we were playing well. Like, from the first kickoff, we were ropes in you lot.
We were on you.
No, first 5 minutes, this was like the typical Arsenal reaction to how they start games. Like, we're going for that goal.
And
you know?
when Rashford scored, I was like, fam, like, how the hell did that just happen? But I wasn't annoyed because, like, A, it was a great goal. And B, I knew we was going to come back. Like, Arsenal going 1-0 down, even Spurs on the team even further now than it even being 0-0. So I wasn't worried about us getting it coming back. I was just like, oh, it's jarring for us to have conceded like that. But like I said, in the second half, it was a completely different game. But one thing though, that I think Ben White coming off changed the game because he was already on the yellow card.
Now, I was even gonna get onto that. I feel like... Yeah. The changes that were made by Arteta. So, like, the last game between United and Arsenal, we obviously, you know, you gave Ten Hag his props in terms of how he set up against Arteta, obviously breaking in the transitions. Partey didn't play. But I feel this time you could really credit Arteta. I felt like the desire was already there from the players, but in terms of the tactical changes, because it was a tactical battle between the two, you know, I felt when Ben White came off, he was on the yellow. But bringing Tomiyasu, that I thought his energy down the right-hand side, the overlaps with Saka, for example, it was really forcing Shaw to not really push up on him. Yeah. And it allowed Saka
you
to...
You see how shook Shaw was whenever Saka got on the ball?
He was shook. Even
he was
in the first
standing
half,
off him. Yeah. Like.
The first challenge, I think there was one... Well, you know Arteta got carded, yeah?
Yeah.
Shaw had obviously gone into Saka at that point. Arteta's made his point clear. He's obviously got carded, but I don't know. I felt like after that moment, Shaw was a bit timid. And we know how Saka is. And Saka's the type of player, you give him time and space and he's going to take it. And credit to him again, like, what a player, honestly. So direct, you know. There's obviously, we're going to talk about the other winger on the other team and whatnot. And the feedback that he's been getting. But no, honestly, even
like
last 90, year... I felt,
90 million.
Like, yeah. Boy, it's tight, man. I felt like last year, and honestly, like, trust me, right now it's paining me to compliment you, man, but credit has to be given where credit is due. Because last year, Saka, I said this to many other football fans as well, I felt like Foden should not have won young players play. Like Saka, if you look at the amount of games he had played for Arsenal, even this season, like I was saying to you guys, as Arsenal fans, you should obviously be worried, being an England fan as well, that he could get injured. But Arteta has done well in terms of the man management. He's done well in terms of rotating him, protecting him. Like even the reaction with Shaw's challenge, you can see that he actually loves his players. Like, do you know what I mean? And coming from seeing that at United with Ferg, he would react a certain type of ways when certain things happen to his player. You can see what Arteta is building. Like, and it's scary, fam. It is scary for the rest of us fans right here because, you know, with money coming in, with you guys at the top of the league, it's looking like Arsenal will have a very healthy future.
Yeah, because I feel like... Yeah, go on, Max. Go on, Max.
No, I was going to say, can I just say, I feel like today, yeah, because I want to talk about Man United side as well, innit? Because obviously yeah. we can give praise to Arsenal. Arsenal are fantastic. I'm not surprised. We've been fantastic all season. And I think this was just another game where we had to prove it and show it that, you know, we are levels ahead and we are levels above a lot of teams and we deserve to be top of the table. But what I do want to give a shout out to, number one is Eddie, because he's proved the doubters wrong.
He's time been absolutely on fire. Yeah.
Scoring all different types of goals, poacher goals, finishes, clean finishes, on like, mistakes. He's everywhere. And I got to give him respect. You got to give him his accolades because we all had doubts. I had doubts. When Jesus got injured, when Jacob said it in the chat during World Cup, I said, yep. Well, this was what Jacob was talking about. Jacob said it. If Jesus get injured, we're pissed. And he said it in the chat. I was like, fuck's sake, we're pissed. But then obviously, we had to trust on Eddie Nketiah. And we have to trust on Arteta because Arteta said, don't worry, Eddie can do what he needs to do. That's why they didn't get another striker.
I mean, he's burning the song you lot made for him. I'm burning. You know what I'm saying? The amount of memes and stuff I come up.
You know what I mean? So overall, I think the team was amazing. Everyone, bro, even just everyone played well. Even Lotte had a bit of a meaty game, but overall, everyone did well. Shout out Saliba, shout out Gabriel. Even though we did concede two goals, first goal, nothing you could do about it. Second goal was Tomiyasu's fault, in my own opinion. But they were solid.
Yeah.
They were actually, it didn't look like they were solid, but they were solid. Sinchenko, solid. Ben White had a bit of...
Sinchenko's man of the match for me. Tomiyasu,
solid. You know what I'm saying?
Sinchenko's man of the match.
Xhaka went under the radar, solid. Odegaard doing what he does. Partey doing what he does, even though he got chopped. But Saka, though, I can't lie to you. Saka, I think after yesterday's performance, he's now proven that he's on another level. Yesterday, after that goal, after the goal and then the celebration, it was like, put some respect on man's name in it. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, his confidence is high. His confidence is high.
The last time I seen him score a goal like that was when he first started playing for us. And it was against, it was in Germany. He played, was it against Frankfurt, Demeji?
I think
it was
I know
in Germany when
about.
He scored one of his first goals
outside
the box.
Yeah.
He banged it in.
Yeah.
It was similar to that goal, but this goal was better because this is a big game. You know what I'm saying? You've gone and made it 2-1. Saka, boy, I was doubting my own boy Saka. I used to say Smith Rowe. I remember in a couple of episodes. I used to say I would prefer Smith Rowe over Saka. I still love Smith Rowe though. I still love Smith Rowe and I wanted to get back to this team. But Saka, kudos to you because you are on a different level right now, man. And just shout out to Arteta, shout out to the whole team. Top of the table. We got Man City next in the FA Cup. So, and I want to win that. I don't even want to lose that. I want us to go with strong teams.
Do you know what? But this, going back to this game, honestly, like there's just so many, you know, for the last, 24 hours, I've just been thinking, so many talking points, so many things you can talk about. You mentioned Zinchenko. He is a problem, that ability.
Has a free role at left back. Have you ever seen that before? A free roaming left back.
It's honestly...
And it's mad because when Antony came off, that's when Zinchenko started moving mad.
I was even going to go on to that. And obviously, we've discussed the tactical point of view from Arteta's side. But I just feel like we have to come over to the United side, even off the back of the Antony point. I feel... This week, I was disappointed in Ten Hag. I think up until the City game, you know, he'd really found a way to adapt. He found a way to somehow get things working. You know, for example, playing Shaw.
I'm just remembering how you were bugging out in the chat after the Palace game.
The Palace game, like, listeners, we need to give them contest because Palace game, as you know, all United fans, such as myself, we were all fearful, the Casemiro situation. And we knew that it would come back to bite us. And don't get me wrong, like, I feel us having Casemiro may not have changed the result, may have, but I just feel like that would have given us the best chance to approach this game. And I feel Ten Hag failed this week miserably, and he got the consequence of that yesterday. Why I say that, the Palace game, 1-0 up, Casemiro is still on the pitch. He talks about trusting his squad, talks about trusting the depth, but then keeps Casemiro on. Eze comes on, Casemiro starts making a couple more challenges. You know how it goes, 1-0, team starts running at you. The moment I saw Casemiro make that challenge, you lot, on Zaha, I knew it was all over. Like, all that confidence, all the banter of Casemiro, Partey, all of it just went out the window. And you could just see that moment dejected all of the players, because within, what, how long after that? They conceded against Palace straight away. And that hasn't happened to us in a while. You know, we had been on crazy form. You know, if we had scored first, we'd most likely go to win the game. So I feel like this was where Ten Hag had really messed up. Also, going off the Antony situation, you decide to take him off 1-0 up against Palace. We don't have any other dribblers. Like, when I look at my team, even when I look to the Arsenal game, like you said, you took Antony off against Zinchenko. The moment you now do that, he puts Bruno to the right. What's Bruno going to do against Zinchenko? Bruno's not going to run. Bruno's going to pass the ball every second. So the moment he did that, I felt like the same thing happened with the Palace game. We were now in a position where we're being pressed. And a lot of United fans, they're questioning, obviously, Antony's, the numbers he's producing because of how much he costs and stuff. But
what's your honest take on Antony?
I feel like when you look at, a lot of United fans didn't watch him, and this is the annoying thing about it. I knew him from Ajax. I knew his style of play. Like, he's got quick feet. You know, he's a young player. He's raw. You know, he's not perfect in terms of his shooting, his assisting, crossing, but he's a player who's good in teams of possession. He's good at ball retention. And one thing I noticed against Palace and against Arsenal is that when he was on the pitch, he was able to carry the ball. He was able to take it. It allowed us time to come up the pitch, if you get where I'm coming from. The moment he came off now, we didn't have anyone else doing it. Mm. Rashford isn't really that type of person. Rashford is more like he wants to just go. Mm. He just wants to go in behind, be as direct as possible. The moment he took Antony off, like I said, there isn't anyone else carrying the ball over. So every time the ball went over to Arsenal, it would just come back straight away. Or if it did go up, we didn't hold it high enough in your half to then build up a consistent attack. So eventually, all that was going to lead to was us conceding chances. So that's why I feel like this week, Ten Hag, for me, those minor decisions is what cost us in that game.
Can I just say though, mm. that you could say that, okay, Ten Hag, you know what, those decisions cost us, but you also have to give credit to the fact that Saka was causing such a problem that he had to get Fred on. Because you know Fred was on to man Mark Saka. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
it was Fred and Luke Shaw to
mark Saka. No, I saw one. That. And you know what? Same thing, he brought Fred on against Palace and it did absolutely nothing. I just feel like, I find it weird when people are defending, when you want to defend a goal, yeah, what's the best way to stop someone? It's to keep them out of your half. So why take away an attacker who's going to keep the players as high as possible in their half off the pitch?
Like, who came on for Antony again?
He took Verhorst and Antony off to bring on Fred and McTominay. No, not McTominay. He brought Fred. Who else? Who came on for Verhorst? No, Verhorst was on the whole time. No, Fred is what he came on. Verhorst came off against Palace. That was it.
But I'm trying who did Antony come off for? Was it Fred?
I'm sure it was Fred.
It was Fred.
He put Bruno to the right. But
Yeah.
I don't know. I found it very weird. Against City, he didn't do that. He brought on Palestrian. I've been hearing a lot of United fans say, why don't you bring on a winger?
Or Garnacho. No, he brought on Garnacho. Not Pulisic.
Yeah, they brought Garnacho on, yeah. Oh, yeah, he brought Garnacho on in that game.
Yeah.
Because you now have a runner to push them back. Like, yeah. For me, it doesn't make sense when you want to, I don't know. Like, I felt like he would have learned from the Palace game, but I feel the Casemiro situation obviously affected his plans. Like, I don't think he was going to start with McTominay. The build-up was a bit different.
You see McTominay, yeah.
If I ever speak about that, honestly, like, I don't think he really had a bad game. Eriksen was bad.
He's a midfielder. He's 26 years old. He still don't have a defining trait. He's not a ball winner. He's not a passer. He's not a destroyer. He's not a box to box. What is he?
Well, McTominay is Aston Villa quality, bro.
Do you know what? Yeah, in this game, when he was gonna play, we're not expecting anything from McTominay in that regard.
And it's even funny that you brought, sorry to cut you off, bro. It's even funny you brought Eriksen as well, because I think this match showed you that Eriksen, he's not the number eight you man need, man.
No, he's not a number eight anyway. He is, honestly, this game made me realise that if Casemiro doesn't play in that midfield, United's team, that midfield is so unbalanced. Like, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work. It honestly doesn't work. Even yesterday, when I was looking at the game, I couldn't see a goal coming from midfield. I couldn't. Like, I'd either hope that the ball's going to go from defence to Rashford, or the ball's going to go out to Antony. Weghorst, I didn't want to talk about him. 6'6", you don't win headers.
I thought he was all right. Weghorst.
I thought, but come on, two games.
Gabriel was winning bare headers.
How many shots? Yeah, like, come on, what, 6'6"? No header, no shot on head, no header on target, no shot on target. Meanwhile, you got a youngster on the other side running around like a seasoned striker, you know? So, yeah, man, I just feel like there's still a lot to work on, but obviously I've discussed the negatives. We obviously saw that fake quote. Apparently, Henri had mentioned, you know, the one in the group chat.
I was fuming.
Trust me, I was fuming, Terry O'Neill, you fucking stupid or something. Don't ever try to degrade my club.
Fam.
Progress.
So for the listeners, for context, it's the listeners know, isn't it? So there was a little quote going out there where Terry O'Neill was basically saying how he was very impressed to see how a six-month United under Ten Hag was able to compete with a 3 years Arsenal Arteta team. And whether it's fake or not...
No, honestly, it's fake, man.
Okay, whoever made that is a weirdo.
Do you know what? Yeah, no. Whoever made it, fair enough, innit? But taking that aside, when we take this game, like, when you actually look at the bigger picture of it, United fans, we weren't expecting to be in any sort of title race. Like... We only really came into this. That's what I'm saying. We only came into this whole title race until the City situation, until we beat City. Other than that, our target was top four and a trophy this season, if you can get that. And right now, Ten Hag is on course for that. So as much as yesterday I felt sour for that, as much as I felt sour for this week, when I look at the bigger picture of it, we are on the right path, because Arteta spent 3 years building this team. And we're the closest team in this league to have challenged you. Obviously, you haven't faced City yet, and we're going to see how that game is going to go. But
That's cap.
This season? What other team this season has given you a better challenge than we have?
Leeds.
What was the score of Leeds?
We beat them 1-0. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, I remember.
Across the two games.
Yeah, but bro, you're the only team we played twice, I think.
You haven't faced anyone else?
No, we just yesterday was our 19th match.
Okay, well, we're the only team to beat you any regardless. So I can't see how any other team in this league has caused you a problem if it's not us.
Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough.
So as much as United fans may be annoyed at it, like, we've made a lot of progress. And if we carry on at this rate, then we're all going to be looking forward to a big, massive rival between United and Arsenal in the years to come. You obviously got a young team. We're still trying to bring players through the academy. So, yeah, man, like, it's a shit week, but in the grand scheme of things, we're on the right path. So,
It's a great
can,
week,
can I just say, but can I just say one more
thing? Rate our thing, though. Like, Jake, you have to rate our thing.
No, no, no. 100. Listen, like I said, our tennis spent 3 years building this.
Can I just say one thing? No, two things, actually, first of all.
I just seen something on the TV that just annoyed me, and I think you're going to bring up as well, Max.
No, I don't know, but I want to say my two things first.
Okay. All right.
Firstly, I hate when everyone keeps saying this 3 years and it's taken Ten Hag 6 months. Duh, duh, duh. Because let me land, Jacob. I'm not saying
no, land it,
but what I don't like is because it's like the United fans are trying to belittle what we're doing, isn't it? Like, oh, like yeah, you man took 3 years, dog. We took 6 months. But first of all, let's get facts correct.
No, no, we're not comparing.
No, no, let me land. Not you, but United fans are comparing because that's what all Flex, Adam McCola, all them man, they're trying to like downplay how we're playing right now. Trying to say it took us 3 years. Bro, let's get facts right. First, we won our FA Cup in the first 6 months, yeah? Mm. And then during the rebuild of trying to get rid of the likes of Aubameyang,
Lacazette.
Who else did we have? We had Aubameyang, Lacazette. Bro. Who was our centre-backs? We had David Luiz, or Ceballos, Mustafi, all these players. Koscielny, Kolasinac, all these dead players that we had to find a way to, you can't get rid of them in one season. It takes a few seasons to get rid of them. It took time to get rid of them. Then bring in our own players and implement a football. Of course, it's going to take time. The difference between Arsenal and United is you man have a banging squad already. You had, or let's not say a banging squad, but you have
let's
a
say banging
decent,
squad after yesterday.
Let's not say a banging squad, but he had a decent squad already. And in his first season, he got Casemiro, he got Antony. Mm. Bro, what do you mean? We didn't get signings like that, bro. So
you didn't get signings in Arteta's first
not
season.
To that, not of that caliber. Like,
not of that extent, bro. Not of that. Okay. We're not getting 80 million and Champions League winner. We didn't get that. But hold on, let me land.
When did Partey come?
Partey came in like, he didn't come straight away, first of all. He came in January. I'm sure he came in January. Or okay, I can't remember when
he came in summer. He came in the summer.
But he didn't come straight away. It wasn't the first season. No, it wasn't his first season. It wasn't the first season. But that's one thing. So I want United fans to stop saying that, fam, because it's pissing me off. And number two, the last thing I actually want to say is, your defense is in trouble.
Enjoy it, bro.
Ketia, shout out you, my dog. Two goals from Deptford size. My doggy, my Achilles. We move.
Enjoy it, man. Honestly. Like, you're not on fire right now, man. It is what it is. But like I said, it's 1-1 this season. Don't ever get twisted, like. And I'm still gonna talk my smoke this season. Still gonna end up facing you lot Europa League. Get me when we clear up Barcelona. See you lot in the Europa final and that. Rematch. Even FA Cup if you lot can buck City in it, like. But
I want to buck City still.
Even going back to the Antony situation, yeah. What's your take on Antony? Like, honest.
My take on Antony is that, like. I hate wingers generally. I don't like a winger who can't beat a man, who can't take on his opposite number. I'm not even necessarily saying that because that's something that's been annoying me about Martinelli recently. Like, I've been deep in recently, like, bro, Martinelli's got no skills, like, no flavor.
Said, yo, when he's on that the ball. last challenge he gave him, and exactly. After that, he got subbed.
Yeah. But even then, Martinelli, like, he's still got his pace. He's still got movement off the ball that is beneficial to being a winger. With Antony, yes, he's very good and very tricky on the ball. But
yeah.
I just don't see it, man. Like, I get, like, from him, you're gonna bite my head off. But I get Pepe vibes, man.
No, do you know what? Yeah, as even today, I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself,
Pepe
like, vibes.
I get Pepe, man.
Like, these man
Pepe had
actually,
more goals. Man, Pepe had more goals than assists by this time. Wait,
by this time, are you sure? Listen,
he definitely did.
You know what? Yeah, right now, it's just hot. Like,
the thing is, bro, the only thing I'll say about this guy though is number one, you got to give a man time. Number one,
yeah, of course.
I can't lie to you. I trust Erik ten Hag. He looks like he's actually a proper coach,
yeah.
Proper manager,
yeah.
And I think.
I'm
if
doing
he wanted
the GM
a player,
with Arteta still. Man's gonna bro, sit if, and ride for the manager.
If a manager that you know is good, you know he's good at his job, says he wants a player, and he wants you to go all out and get that player, there must be a reason why. It's the same reason why Arteta wanted Modric, even though we didn't get him. But do you know what I'm saying? With Anthony, there must be a reason why he wants him. 100. I think for Man United, what it is right now, you man are not a possession-based team yet. You need to get back on.
That's it. People are still on this counter attack.
Yeah, football. And you need to. That's dead. As a top sided team, you cannot be a team that does counter-attacking football. Counter attacking football.
Not the whole
time. No, that's dead. You can't.
And
unless
it suits a team with possession, and that's possession. What I'm like the future. Because
when he gets the ball, it's like he wants to be used to continuously getting the ball all the time. Give it to me. Then he can carry. Then he gets the confidence to take on a man. It can't be a situation where, you know, you man are doing counter-attack. And then when he gets the ball, eventually, if he loses it, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, he's lost the ball. That sticks in his head.
Yeah,
so and now he's thinking, do you know what I mean? Should I take on my man? Because what I've clocked is he keeps stopping. There's been so many times he'll get the ball, he'll dribble, then he'll stop. Yeah. And normally, even the one against, remember the one where Partey caught up to him, bro?
I
couldn't believe he caught him like that. There was a little buckle in it, like there was a tiny buckle. But like you said, I don't think his confidence is there. And United fans, honestly, we're becoming as bad as Arsenal fans when it comes to judging players, bro.
Allow it, man.
In terms
United
of that
fans
instant,
are worse. United fans have been
in terms
worse.
Of, in terms of that instant judgment, yeah. Like,
nah, man.
He didn't choose to be 85 million, innit?
No, but I feel like with the player, yeah, you can tell. I feel like it shouldn't take you long for you to be able to determine whether a player is good or not. Look at Modric. Modric came on 5 minutes. Everybody was raving about
him. I would say,
oh, look at Trossard, fam.
No. What I would say. If you his first three games, and I don't think any other. Wait, am I correct?
Yeah, maybe he scored against Arsenal and City.
Scored Arsenal and City, and those are the two top teams in the league. Those are his first few games in this league, you know. And he made an impression on United fans. So I think we should give him a bit of time. You know, like you said, he's young. He still has a lot to learn. This team still has a lot to learn, you know. Maybe his qualities are not shining through because the team isn't where it needs to be, as GM is basically saying. So, you know, we'll give him time. Obviously, it's hard when you've got other youngsters doing well. They're getting the numbers. You obviously got Saka on the other side who has scored, puts pressure. But for me personally, I can see there are positives there.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see what he provides. But right now, you know, He needs to give something back, because if he doesn't, the United fans are going to eat him alive, man. Like, it's just long still. Twitter's destroying him. Yeah, man.
playground footballer, man.
Yeah, man. Now, obviously, you mentioned Modric and that. Like, I don't know if you guys watched the Chelsea game.
Yeah. Terrible game. Horrible game.
Absolute joke. I only watched it really just to see what Modric was saying, but.
Terrible game.
Yeah, man. What was it? We didn't even waste our time on that. It was a 0-0 for the listeners anyway. Really and truly, we're going to discuss the game to just talk about Modric's impact. But what do you guys think?
Bro,
I think
you regret.
It wasn't even regret, but I just like.
No. That was regret.
What could have been?
No. There is regret on my side, bro. When I saw him come on and I saw what he was doing, I said, fuck! Now I know why Chelsea didn't want us to buy him.
Yeah.
Bro, imagine we had Modric during Man United and we subbed on for Martinelli 20 minutes to go. Why Bissaka's getting burnt? I'm so sorry.
He would have got cleaned up. Modric
he looks. I hope he flops. I hope he flops. I hope it's just like, because there have been players that come and they play good in their first game and then they flop. I hope he flops, but he doesn't look like that type of player.
Nah, he looks
he's going to be
tidy.
Still
cold.
Oh my god! I'm going to look forward to watching Chelsea.
Yeah,
with them having João Felix,
Nkunku,
Modric, and Masi, what's his name? No,
Madueke.
They brought their own type of Saka. They're trying to create.
The left point from PSV.
Madueke. I don't know what's his name.
I want to see what Chelsea are going to cook for us. I want to see what type of ball they're going to play for us.
Do you feel like Potter's still going to be there to manage all these players?
I think they'll give him at least the rest of the season.
Yeah.
At least the rest of the season.
If it don't work out, then they probably will fire him.
Yeah.
But Chelsea are cooking. As much as I've been bantering them and chatting shit about them, they are cooking. They got a squad there. And if that squad links up and starts playing ball, boy, we will see what I go on. Because don't forget, they still got man like Sterling on the bench.
Yeah.
What about when Sterling comes
too,
back?
But they just, don't you think they just... I just feel, me personally, I feel like Potter is not going to be able to handle all of them names. And, you know, for those price tags, because at the end of the day, Modric is not going to want to sit on bench. Felix is not.
What do you
mean?
Sitting on bench?
Felix is obviously there for the loan, but he's not coming here to sit on bench for the time he's there. You know?
But to be fair, though, if you looked at Chelsea's lineup that they played against Liverpool, that was a poor lineup, man.
Nah.
It was a poor lineup. So it's like, in hindsight, I actually understand the signings that they've made because, bro, their team is lacking. Like, the team is lacking. I know they've had injuries
hit them quite a bit. But
even their players who are injured, they weren't even in the best of form, even when they were fit. Like, Sterling, poor form. Pulisic, poor.
Mount has been poor this season.
Mount, poor. Aubameyang, non-existent. Do you know who's shit as well? Conor Gallagher. He's dead.
He's dead. Like, he's so dead.
Ugh. Who else is injured? Breuer, injured. Like, they had bare injuries. I actually hear why they spent this much. But I don't think Chelsea will be a problem for this season. I think next season, Chelsea are going to be back. I think for this season, obviously, all the players still need to mesh together. But I think from next season, Chelsea are going to be a big, big problem. A big, 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 big problem.
Not too big for Arsenal, but yeah.
No. Come on, man. We got the best manager in the league. We got the best manager in the league, man.
Love it, man. Next season, though. Next season is looking to be very interesting. And regardless if Potter is there or not, I feel that team is going to be an issue. And any manager looking to come in with that team, obviously there's talks of Poch, you know. It could be very, very interesting next season with all of these top teams. So,
Poch, man.
Do you feel like he could do well with Chelsea, though?
I don't know, 100%. Man.
I think you give him a chance. I think he can do well.
Something about Poch is always like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Even when he went PSG, and he didn't really... I think he won the league there, but I don't know. But we'll see anyway. Maybe Potter will still be there.
Boy, I don't know. Like, if you're spending, 500... Bro. How much they spend? 500 mil.
Since their new owner came, they've spent like 600 M's.
What's the target for this season? Because not coming to not come top four?
I think their target has to be at least like Europa.
Who? Chelsea.
You
can't be spending 600 million to be playing in Conference League or not being in Europe. Or maybe it's like, okay, cool, we're dead off Europe for this year. Then next year, we'll just go straight for the title or something. But I don't know, man.
But listen, to hell with that club, man. Like, you lot can rot. You spent so much. Yeah, you lot can... You can feel what United was feeling, fam. All that banter flying. That's calm, man. But yeah, now it'll be interesting
back,
to see
guys. How
some
sorry for that short break. But yeah, just getting back to the Premier League itself.
Guys, we're just going to take a quick break.
Obviously, the title race is heating up for... Sorry, let me do that again. Right, so 3, 2, 1. So yeah, welcome back. So about a short break, but yeah, going back into the Premier League, as you can see, title races getting interesting. Obviously not for United, other side of Manchester. City looked to pick up form from the Tottenham game where they were 2-0 down, came out second half 3-2. We saying, lads, you think City are gonna
I think City will push us to the end, but I genuinely think, and I'm not trying to be too over eager or too over enthusiastic as an Arsenal fan, but I genuinely think, and I pray to God this doesn't come back to bite me, but I genuinely think that this is our year, because I just think the level of football we're playing is clear. Very clear of anybody else in the league right now, and I'm including City. I think we're playing much better football than City. I think what we did to United yesterday, what we've been doing to teams all season, I don't think I've seen City haven't been doing that this season. And
they haven't.
And I think, I don't know who said it, but somebody said, I think it was Jamie Carragher actually, that said that the way Arsenal are playing now, it's like a blend of Liverpool in their prime of this site, super intense, high pressing game mixed with Man City in terms of like death by a thousand cuts, pass you to like pass you to kingdom come and still be able to get the ball into the back of the net. It's almost like a blend of those two styles. So I just think with the style of football that we're playing, the new signings that we've made this January, so we got some reinforcements in now. I think Trossard will be a good signing. We've obviously signed this new Polish centre back. We might get somebody else in as well. I just think, yeah, man, City will push us to the end, but I think this is our year still. Like 50 points so, after 19 games.
You're saying the way they responded against Tottenham, it doesn't make you worried at all.
No, of course.
That makes me worry.
Of course.
Plus the Haaland hat-trick as well.
Yeah, like, I'd be stupid to say that it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. And I know City are going to push us right to the end, but I just feel that this is our year. Honestly, I feel like this is our year.
I agree with Demetri. I do feel like this is our year. However, I still feel like it's early in the season. I still feel like, even though it is 8 points, I still feel like anything can happen. It's not like we've got a 15-point gap, bro. It's only 8 points. It's two games.
It's five,
but
bro.
For context, for the listeners, City and Arsenal still have two games to play.
Exactly.
So there's 6 points between you.
Trust me, if they win those two, they're back in it. So I think where I'm going to be more confident is we've got City, I believe, in the next 2 weeks in Prem at home.
Mm-hmm.
Beat City at home, and then we go what? We go 19, then we got 11 points clear.
No, I'll be able, in our hand. It's 5 points now.
Yeah, but we got a game in hand.
Yeah, the game in hand is City.
What?
The game in hand is City. Because
we had an 8 points gap already.
No, it's five.
Has always been five.
It was two when City beat Wolves. Then it went back up to five. Because obviously we haven't played City yet. So City is our game in hand.
Oh, fair.
Yeah.
So what, if City beat us, it closes to 2 points.
Yeah.
And then you've got one more game against them.
Yeah. Bro, no. We need to calm down a bit. we need to take it easy. Cool down.
Let me just look at this situation.
We need to beat City, though. We need to beat City. Because if City do go on that run, it's going to get peak.
It is, and do you know what? City are known to, from what we've seen, City always end the season strong. Like, we saw them in this situation with Chelsea at, was it how many seasons ago? And they managed to cut that gap down. So, yeah, man, I feel like the United game was the catalyst. I thought, to be honest, the United game was going to break City down, but then they obviously go to Tottenham, 2-0 down half time. We don't know what's said. Pep obviously trying all this mind games. I don't care about the league and da-di-da-di-da. We've won it many times, but you know, his boys then come out to win 3-2. Like, I think this is, we've got a very interesting Premier League end to come. And
yeah, we do.
Them two games, looking at the points now, it is 5 points. You've got that game in hand and whatnot. Yeah, also, man. Nah, like,
yeah, our game in hand is against Everton. Sorry, not City.
Technically, you should have been facing City, so
it would
have been that game. So
yeah,
yeah, man. Like, honestly, the league is very interesting.
But
right,
I'm
now
saying, if we beat Everton, that means we got 8 points clear.
Yeah.
And then if we beat City, then we got 11 points.
Yeah, clear.
When we need. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
we got
to
win that game in hand, and then beat City, and then it's in our hands now. Because that means we got to lose three games and draw a game, and City have to win all their games, which. That one day, if we do that, then Arteta can get.
But we've seen City do this before, man.
I'm saying we have to lose three games and draw. So, like, that's a month of no wins.
Yeah,
that's not happening, bro. That's not happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
This Premier League is interesting, man.
We'll see. This
Premier League is a very interesting one. So, like, we're just over the halfway mark. Literally, we're just over. So. You know, anything can happen at this rate. You've still got Chelsea twice. And yeah, man, but top four race, obviously, have your minds changed on who do you think is going to end top four? So before obviously you answer that, you've got Arsenal, Man City, Newcastle, Man United, Tottenham, Brighton, Fulham, Brentford, Liverpool, Chelsea. I've just done the top 10.
Okay.
So that's the ranking right now. How do you think it ends? Do you think it ends the way it is?
I think
it ends the way it is, man.
I think it ends.
United under Newcastle. Don't violate the team.
No. One of you.
Don't violate the team.
I think it'll be Arsenal, City, United, Tottenham. I think Newcastle
Tottenham
will drop
are not
out.
Getting top four, man.
Bro, like that, man. Bro, do you know what it is? I thought the same thing, but then I did that. Tottenham, okay, they played the game extra, but they're really 3 points behind United, you know. And Newcastle, Tottenham.
Are 3 points behind United?
Yeah.
One game, we played a game extra than us.
Even so, you man have dropped 5 points in your last, out of your last three matches, you've dropped 5 points. And obviously Tottenham won today. So, I don't know. I feel like Tottenham could creep in there. I think United will probably finish third. I think, you probably look set to finish third. I think Newcastle will finish fifth. I don't trust Newcastle to maintain this for the rest of the season. Like, I really don't. I feel like they're going to end up drawing too many games, dropping too many points, and it might end up costing them. So, I do see maybe Tottenham creeping in there. But who knows? A late charge from Liverpool or Chelsea, you never know. You never know.
Where is Liverpool? Where is Liverpool?
Liverpool are not.
And life, jeez. But you still got Brighton got two games in hand. They're on 31 at the moment.
Yeah.
So,
Liverpool, they're in crap form, but you can never fully count Liverpool out. Like, you'd be silly to. You'd be silly to. And if I look at the next couple of games, they've got Wolves away, Everton at home, Newcastle away, Palace away, then United at home. Those are how many games is that? That's five massive games.
Five huge games. And even as we're talking about the top of the table, we have to just swing our attentions quickly to the bottom half. And, you know, big news, obviously. Frankie boy, it's another job, you know. Another job. He hasn't succeeded. Another sacking.
Another P45.
It was inevitable, though, from what we could see. So, just for context for the listeners, Everton finally decided to get rid of Frankie boy. I don't know if you lot saw the video of the fans and approaching Lampard.
I felt so sorry for him, man. He looked so scared. Like,
it's mad because they approached him. They were on this we're here to support you. And he looks so scared.
These Liverpool youths, they don't play.
They don't play still. They might actually pull up to you and say, yo, we support you, strong handed.
I remember what I said last week, they headlocked the
I dementia, I'm telling you. Listen, it is long still. These lot,
don't play, man.
My question to you guys is, where next for Everton?
Hey, I think they're going down still just because their team is crap. And who's going there? Like, what manager's going there? Like, they tried to approach Sean Dyche. He said no. So I don't know. That's probably the best manager they could have aimed to get, unless they get somebody like a foreign manager.
Why have they got to get a new manager while we're next to play them, fam? That's going to...
I said the same thing.
Honestly, you're going to get that new manager bounce. And looking at it now, joint bottom, 15 points, 2 points to get out of the relegation zone. Man. You know, we're talking about the title race and stuff, and we're talking about all these big teams you're going to have to face, but... now it's crunch time for the little teams. Every single point is going to matter. Now you're going to see teams catching up. 1-0 early doors. Can we just hold it out? Hold it out. Get a draw if we can from this game, you know? So, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Everton.
I think they're done still. I don't see... they've got no goals in their team. They got
qualities. Their squad is crap.
Got a shit defence. Got an okay midfield, but still not great. Yeah, and no striker, no manager. Yeah, man, I think they're pissed still. It's a shame, man. It's a shame. It's a real shame. But when you hire Lampard, it's always a risk.
What do I think? Everton will go down?
Nah, not even Everton. Personally, I feel they're going down anyway. What were you saying?
In terms of what?
Just going down, like Everton.
Bro, I'll be very honest, I couldn't tell you. But if they do go down, it'll be a big shock still. Because they've got players there that should not be playing in fucking Championship, fam. Like, it won't be Damari Gray, do you know what I mean? Calvert-Lewin. They're gonna get. They can't afford to go down, bro. Not if them the salaries that they're giving their players and shit. They just. It's just their midfield. They got that Belgium guy. I forgot his name.
Onana.
Like what? No. They'll be moving mad if they go down. Still, they need to pattern up. What manager's gonna go there and take the job? That's the question, fam.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So We'll see.
I wish I could carry on this discussion with you, like, and just go on forever and ever, you know. Obviously, we'll discuss Frankie Boy next week, see what his next moves are. But let's round this up real quick. Obviously, it's that time of the show, Donkey of the Week. I'm going to let you guys go first. You guys already know what I'm going to say, so I'll let you lot do your thing.
Who got it last week again? Was it Frank Lampard or was it Chelsea?
I think it was Everton. It was Everton.
You didn't do Chelsea.
They put their guy. They put their owner in a headlock, fam. So.
Yeah. It was Everton.
So it's Everton this week.
Let me think.
If you don't need time to think, I'll drop mine in it.
Nah. To be fair, my donkey of the week.
I've got mine.
Yeah, Max, you go first, actually.
I'm not going to lie. This might sound a bit sharp. I mean, harsh and that. But I think my donkey of the week goes to this performance just based off price, based off big game moments, based off getting subbed again.
I was thinking him too.
Based off my winger showing him how to get it done. I can't lie. It's had to come because last season we used to slap Pepe with donkey in there a few times. So for me, based off what I've seen so far, I'm not happy. And you can score them outside the boat, outside curlers, like every now and then against Charlton and all these dead teams. You can score against Man City, but then lose the game 6-0 and score against Arsenal, but didn't really deserve to win the game and that. But for me, I can't lie. Donkey of the week has to go to Anthony, man. Like it might be a bit harsh, but I think out of all donkeys this week, I will give it to Lampard, but Lampard's had enough. Frank has had enough getting dissed, man. I will give it to Anthony this week, bro.
Hear that?
I hear it.
Dimeji?
Yeah, Anthony. Yeah, I agree with that one, man. Just because it's not his fault, the price tag, he didn't set it for himself. And I think eventually at some point he might come good. But from now, what I've seen, I'm not impressed. And just against Arsenal, He just looks off it, man. I would want more personally. And like I said, he just gives me Pepe. Like he just gives me Pepe vibes, man.
Mad Arsenal fans call it. My head is hot.
Pepe was better than him, bro.
Don't say that.
Pepe had scored more goals than assists by this time.
My head is hot, fam. I hope we buck it up. God knows.
Can I just say as well, we're giving him donkey of the week, but can I just say one more thing that we didn't speak about? This Bruno against Odegaard comparison this season. Just so you're aware.
Hold on.
Bruno is on 2 goals and 2 assists this season, while my striker has about 8 goals and like 8 assists, fam. So I'm just saying, man, needs to pattern up now with this Bruno conversation.
Let me drop my donkey of the week and then I'm gonna approach that real quick in it. So obviously my donkey of the week, these don't heard my thing from the middle of the week anyway. And for me personally, it was one of the biggest reasons as to why we lost yesterday. I just feel Ten Hag, donkey of the week. I was gonna give that to him from the Palace game. The moment Zaha made Casemiro have to commit, you know, in the close to 80th minute, you decided not to make that sub from early, knowing the impact that he was going to have, you know, deciding to shake your head after he's been subbed as if it was anyone else's fault, after he'd got the yellow, as if it was anyone else's fault. I just thought all his plans came crumbling away and, you know, without the moments with like the Rashford moment, the Martinez somehow getting that goal, really and truly, we would have got pammed. And I feel like it just came back to that one decision of keeping Casemiro on for that long. So yeah, man, I just, for me, it was probably Ten Hag this week still. But as it is 2-1, the majority wins. So it's looking like Anthony's donkey of the week. Pepe v2,
obviously, man in that. But yeah, man, like, what can I say? We move on to next game. Obviously, who you lot got next?
We've got Everton.
We got Man City.
City in the FA Cup and Everton in the Prem.
Okay, well, you know, I don't even wish you guys the best, so you know I'm not going to say that. We just see how things go. But before we obviously wrap up, Bruno Odegaard situation. Listen, Odegaard right now is on mad form. Not going to dispute that. Was it double? He's on double figures for goals and assists.
And assists, yes, bro.
Yeah, man. Right now, Arsenal flying, man. And he's
that's one what of a real key... that's yeah. a real 10. That's
no, one 10. Of the key components. But just remember that even when we weren't functioning, Bruno was still doing those numbers.
Yeah, like, I love it, man.
Do you know what I mean? So listen, let's just wait until the end of the season, give it a couple more years and that, then we can really, really see who's the real Cam. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll let you end that. Get, listen, when you get three points, come chat to us again.
It's been a long week for you, that fans.
A couple weeks.
Obviously,
still.
Arsenal fans have enjoyed, and that you know, we go on to the next games. Premier League title still on, trophies still to grab. You know, Arsenal got Man City next, as the Medji said. United, I think, got Nottingham Forest. So hopefully, let's go get a win out there, get the boys back on it. And yeah, man, I'll see you lot next week, same time.
Peace out.